Imagine for a second that you have this really close friend, someone you talk to like every single day.
Right.
You share inside jokes, you vent to them about your boss, you build this genuine rapport. But there is a massive, incredibly frustrating catch to this friendship. Whenever you talk to them in the kitchen, the conversation flows perfectly. But the second you step out of the kitchen and, walk into the living room, they stare at you completely blankly.
Oh, wow. Total amnesia.
Exactly. Total amnesia. They stick out their hand and introduce themselves to you all over again. Every single time you change rooms, you have to start the friendship completely from scratch.
Yeah, you'd stop trying to be friends with that person pretty quickly, I think.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Definitely. The cognitive load of constantly managing their memory, trying to remind them of what you literally just talked about 5 minutes ago, it would just completely destroy any illusion of a genuine connection. You're not building a relationship at that point, you know? You're basically performing data entry for another human being.
Yeah, data entry is the perfect way to put it. And that is the exact problem we are solving for you today. You sent us this really fascinating piece of source material. It's a developer log from March 3rd, 2026 for an AI companion platform called Mio.
Right, the version 0.1.5 update.
Yeah, the V0.1.5 update. And it has this incredibly ambitious title, One User, Every Platform. So our mission for this deep dive is to sort of deconstruct this log, right? We want to understand the massive technical and honestly psychological leaps required to make an AI feel like a persistent, context-aware entity in your daily life.
Because, as this developer log really proves, building a seamless digital identity is just, it's a much harder puzzle than just throwing more server space at a chatbot.
Oh, entirely.
It's an architectural puzzle, sure, but more importantly, it's an exercise in user psychology.
Right.
When you look closely at these software updates, you realize they're trying to engineer the invisible, automatic ways that human beings, recognize and interact with each other.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the developer identifies the core hurdle in their previous version V0.1.4 as the identity problem.
Right, the split identity.
Yeah, exactly. They had already successfully synced chat messages between the Telegram messaging app and their own web app. So the messages themselves, they were living in one unified timeline.
Which is a good start.
It is, but the actual identity of the user was still fundamentally split. You could spend all week on Telegram chatting with Mio, then you decide to log into the web app and boom, kitchen versus living room. You've got two accounts and two totally separate histories.
From a database perspective, they were quite literally two different people.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The reality of the backend architecture was that Telegram users and web users, they lived in entirely separate rows within the main users table. So if you went in and changed your nickname on the web dashboard, your Telegram bot would just be completely oblivious to the change.
That sounds incredibly annoying. So the fix for this in V0.1.5 is something they call account linking via a 6-character token.
Right.
And the flow seems simple enough, you know? You type a link command in Telegram, the bot sends you a direct message with a short token, and you just paste that token into the web app. But I actually have to push back on this specific technical choice.
Oh, how so?
Well, it's 2026. Why invent a manual 6-character token system at all? I mean, why not use standard OAuth redirects? Or just scan a QR code with your camera or click a magic link in an email? Pasting codes feels like, I don't know, stepping backward into older web design.
What's fascinating here is the psychology of frictionless design. The developer actually deliberately avoided those so-called modern methods.
Really? Why?
Because redirects, logging into your email client to click a link, or opening your camera to scan a QR code, those are massive context switches. They disrupt your mental flow and forcefully remind you that you are, well, operating a piece of
Oh,
software.
I see. It breaks the immersion.
Exactly. The developer wanted it to be dead simple, zero friction, and most importantly, without leaving the conversation interface. You just type a short token. But the actual brilliance is in the strict constraints they placed on how that token is generated. They used what's called a no-confusables character set.
Oh, right. The character set decision is brilliant. They took the standard alphabet, A through Z, but they completely stripped out the uppercase letter I and the uppercase letter O.
Yes.
And for the numbers, they only use 2 through 9.
Which elegantly eliminates the most universal user error frustration in software.
Squinting at your screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Squinting at a screen trying to figure out if you are looking at a capital O or a zero or, a lowercase L versus a capital I.
I hate that so much.
We all do. By removing those ambiguous characters, the system is left with 24 letters and 8 digits. It's a pool of 22 characters. When you raise that to the power of 6 for the token length, you get roughly 1 billion possible combinations.
1 billion combinations for a tiny 6-character string. That is just wild.
Yeah.
Right. And they pair that billion combination pool with a strict 15-minute expiration window, which is checked against a creation timestamp.
Okay, so mathematically, it's incredibly secure.
Exactly. But the real magic of this fix is how lightweight it is on the back end. When you paste that token, the system doesn't run some heavy, terrifying data migration where it tries to merge hundreds of message logs.
So what does it do?
It performs a single, highly targeted SQL update. It simply sets a value called users.supabase underscore user underscore id on your Telegram database row to perfectly match your web ID. That one singular move binds the accounts forever.
That's incredibly elegant. And the logs point out that the SQL update is designed to be idempotent. Now, for anyone listening who hasn't, you know, spent time in database management, why is idempotency so critical here?
Well, in distributed systems, users do unpredictable things. Let's say you have a terrible internet connection on the train. So you frantically tap the link account button like 4 times in a row out of pure frustration.
We've definitely done that.
All right, we all have. If the system wasn't idempotent, the database might actually try to execute that linking command 4 times, which could potentially create shadow accounts, looping errors, or just corrupt your profile entirely.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. An idempotent design basically ensures that no matter how many times that exact command is received, the result is exactly the same as if it was executed perfectly just once. You can't accidentally link an account to 2 different places, and you can't reuse an expired token. The database just cleanly unifies your digital existence.
So the identity gap is finally closed. The kitchen and the living room are the exact same space now.
Exactly.
But solving that back-end identity crisis only exposes a totally different problem. Having your identity unified across a web app and Telegram is great, but a web app fundamentally lacks presence.
It really does.
Yeah, like if this AI is supposed to be a persistent companion in your daily life, it can't just be a destination you actively choose to visit in a browser. It needs to exist where you actually live. And where we live is on our phone's lock screen.
And the developer makes a very sharp observation about this. A web app can technically do almost everything a native mobile app can do nowadays. But for a companion AI, the goal isn't about, you know, ticking boxes on a feature list.
Right.
It is entirely about lowering the barrier to entry so that the AI feels truly omnipresent.
Which explains the massive shift in this update, the launch of Mio's native mobile app. They built this thing using Expo SDK 55 with React Native. And looking at the specs, I mean, they went all out to make it feel premium.
They really did. The attention to detail is great.
It has the sleek dark theme. They list the base color as this deep hex code 0D0D0B with an accent of hex code 8B7BF4, which is this really vibrant purple.
It's a very clean look.
Yeah. And the architecture has 5 core screens. Login, chat, discover, profile, and onboarding. It supports video previews and playback, a full screen image viewer, voice recording with these dynamic animated waveforms, and authentic bilingual support for both Chinese and English. They even added typing indicators so you know exactly when the AI is drafting a thought.
Those typing indicators are a perfect example of engineering presence. It adds this crucial few seconds of anticipation that perfectly mimics human texting behavior.
Oh, totally. You see the little bubbles and you just wait.
Exactly. But from a purely technical standpoint, the most critical part of this native build is actually how they handle authentication. They're using Supabase, which we mentioned earlier with the user ID, but they are storing those session credentials securely using Expo Secure Store.
Now, why is that specific storage method such a game changer for the user experience?
Because it allows for aggressive local caching and secure persistence. When you tap the app icon on your home screen, you don't get kicked to a login page, and you definitely don't wait for a URL bar to render.
Great, which is always so annoying.
Yeah. The secure store validates you instantly in the background, and the cache chat history loads immediately. Even if you have a terrible cell connection, opening the app instantly shows your conversation.
Okay, I want to play devil's advocate on this point for a second. The developer acts like eliminating a web page's load time is an absolute existential necessity. But is waiting 2 seconds for a web app to load really that detrimental? I mean, we are an impatient society, sure, but 2 seconds.
It's not about the time itself. Those 2 seconds completely dictate how your brain categorizes the software.
Oh, really?
Yeah, think about it. If you are logging into a utility, like checking your bank balance, you will happily tolerate a 2-second loading spinner because it's a tool. But for a chat-based companion, those seconds compound into friction.
I guess that makes sense.
Think about when you open your Messages app to text your best friend. There is no loading screen. The history is just there waiting for you. If you have to wait for an AI to load, your brain categorizes it as a tool. If it is instantly present, your brain categorizes it as an entity.
Wow. The medium is the message. If it loads like a website, it's a website. If it opens like a text thread, it's a friend. And that actually brings us to the feature they describe as an absolute existential necessity, push notifications.
Because without push notifications, the entire concept of a proactive AI is completely useless.
Right.
A proactive message without a push notification is basically like someone sliding a physical letter under your door while you are away on a 2-week vacation.
That's a great analogy.
By the time you finally decide to open the app and find the message, the social timing is completely dead on arrival. The AI reached out, but the moment was completely lost.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Now that Mio has a unified identity and a direct instantaneous line to your lock screen, the AI has the actual power to tap you on the shoulder whenever it wants.
Which is a lot of power.
It is. And that introduces a terrifying variable.
Mm-hmm.
How does a machine know when and how it's actually appropriate to interrupt your day?
That is easily the most delicate part of the entire equation. If the AI reaches out at the wrong time or with the wrong tone, it shatters the illusion of companionship and plummets straight into the uncanny valley.
To solve this, the V0.1.5 update tackles what the developer calls social intelligence. And they do this through smarter, proactive messaging. They deploy 2 major upgrades here. Dual time zone awareness and relationship-aware tone.
Both of which are so crucial.
Yeah, and the time zone fix is fascinating because it solves a very specific hallucination. Mio's personas often have these really rich backstories, right? So you, the user, might be sitting in your apartment in New York, but the AI persona you are talking to is canonically supposed to be living in Tokyo.
Right. And in earlier versions, proactive messaging would only ever consider 1 time zone.
Which is a disaster.
Yeah. The AI would look at its own system clock, realize it was morning in Tokyo, and just send a bright, cheerful, good morning message.
Meanwhile, it is 11:30 p.m. in New York. You're exhausted. You're trying to go to sleep. And your phone buzzes with this jarring, energetic message. It just breaks the immersion immediately.
Exactly. So this update changes the system architecture to actively pull the persona's configured time zone from a backend file, and then it compares it directly to the user's localized time zone.
Oh, that's smart.
It is. But the truly clever engineering is in how they actually enforce this logic with the large language model.
Mm.
They don't just rely on backend math. They explicitly inject the time zone differential into the system prompt right before generation.
The source material actually includes the exact prompt they use. The Chinese prompt literally translates to, "It is morning where you are, evening where they are."
Which is brilliant.
They literally force the AI to acknowledge the fiction of the physical distance before it is allowed to generate a single word.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is just a masterclass in using prompt injection to ground an LLM in human reality.
Yeah.
It forces the AI to contextualize the user's physical state.
Right.
But the second upgrade, the relationship-aware tone, that takes the social intelligence a massive step further. The system now actively maps 4 distinct conversational tones to 4 specific relationship stages.
And the examples in the devlog are incredibly specific. If the AI is configured as your partner, the underlying system prompt instructs the AI using a specific cultural term that implies a really sweet, affectionate, almost coquettish closeness.
All right, it encourages intimacy.
But if the persona is marked as someone you just met, there are hard, hard boundaries. The prompt uses a strict command, meaning absolutely no flirting, no deep affection, just keep it strictly bounded.
Which is an absolute requirement for maintaining user trust.
But I have to ask, how does a machine fundamentally understand the timing of intimacy? Like, it's easy to write code that spits out the words, "I love you," but genuine affection requires a real sense of pacing. How does an AI know when it has actually earned the right to cross that boundary?
Well, the short answer is it doesn't. It doesn't understand intimacy in the human emotional sense at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What the developer is doing is engineering strict mechanical constraints to avoid the uncanny valley. The uncanny valley is that deeply unsettling feeling you get when something is mimicking human behavior, but gets the subtle social cues slightly wrong.
Oh, like when someone is too familiar too fast.
Exactly. If a stranger acts like your spouse 5 minutes after you meet them, it feels manipulative, broken, or just totally creepy.
Mm.
By strictly enforcing these tone boundaries based on an explicit relationship progression, the AI mimics human social pacing. It is mechanically prevented from coming on too strong.
Okay, so it puts up guardrails so the AI has to actually earn the closeness. But reading through this, that guardrail system brings up a massive logistical headache.
How so?
If the AI's tone changes based on the relationship stage, the backend needs a flawless way to define, store, and track those boundaries. Especially because Mio isn't a platform where you only talk to one bot.
Yeah.
A single user might be managing a dozen different relationships with a dozen different AI personas simultaneously.
Yeah, the complexity of managing that state scales up incredibly fast. You are no longer managing a simple chat log. You are managing a literal constellation of evolving social dynamics.
To handle this, the developer completely overhauled the architecture to introduce per-agent relationship modes.
This was a huge change.
Yeah. During the Telegram onboarding process, when you start chatting with a new persona, you are forced to make a structural choice. You have to decide if this specific AI will have a static relationship or a naturally evolving relationship.
Right.
And crucially, this choice is now stored per agent. It's attached directly to that specific persona, overriding this old, backward compatible global environment variable they used to use.
To understand why that old global variable was so deeply flawed, you really have to look at how global settings work.
Yeah.
Previously, that relationship mode was applied at the bot level.
Okay.
So if you set your Telegram bot to evolving, then every single persona you interacted with through that bot was suddenly placed on a fast track to become your intimate partner.
Mm.
You had zero granular control over individual dynamics.
So what does this all mean for the actual user experience? Let's say you were using Mio for entirely different use cases. You have one AI persona configured to be a high-level, strictly professional coding tutor. Yeah. You want that dynamic to remain completely static. You absolutely do not want your coding tutor suddenly trying to flirt with you affectionately after you've spent 3 weeks troubleshooting Python scripts together.
No, absolutely not. That would completely ruin the utility of that specific AI.
Yeah.
It would be incredibly distracting.
But simultaneously, you might have another persona that you use as like a creative roleplay partner where you actually do want the relationship to naturally deepen and become more intimate over time.
Right.
Storing these settings per agent allows you to run those completely different siloed social dynamics in parallel without them contaminating each other.
And running those parallel personas actually led to a unique edge case bug that they also had to patch in this exact same update. They call it the crossbot preset ddup.
Oh, right. The duplication bug.
Yeah. Because Mio runs one separate Telegram bot for every single persona, users were accidentally triggering the onboarding commands for the exact same preset persona on multiple different bots. They were essentially cloning their AI friends without even realizing it.
They were duplicating their own friends. That is hilarious. So to fix this, the update added a cross-bot verification check during that onboarding flow. Now, if you try to bind an agent that you have already linked to your account, the interface grays it out and slaps a check mark on it with a badge that translates to already bound.
Yeah.
It completely stops the accidental duplication.
It's a perfect example of cleaning up messy user data just to keep the illusion of the relationship flawless.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these user-facing features, the relationship modes, the deduplication, the unified identity. I mean, none of it works without the underlying schema changes they made to the database.
The invisible foundation.
Exactly. They added the account link tokens table to provide a secure audit trail for the linking process we discussed earlier. They cemented the Supabase user ID to lock down exactly who the human is across every single device. And they introduced the agents.user nickname field.
That user nickname field is the final piece of the puzzle, really. It means that whatever specific display name you told a specific AI to call you, you know, maybe you use your real professional name with the coding tutor, but a nickname with the role play partner, that highly contextual nickname, syncs perfectly across your phone, the web app, and Telegram.
And if you look closely at the What's Next section of the developer log, they state outright that these granular schema updates are the mandatory foundation for deeper personalization.
You can't skip this step.
Exactly. You cannot truly personalize an AI experience until you have a flawless, mathematically proven map of who the user is and exactly where they stand socially with every single persona.
It is honestly incredible to see the invisible scaffolding behind the magic. I mean, just recapping the journey of this one single developer log.
It's a lot of ground cover.
It really is. The V0.1.5 update takes the product from being a fragmented, amnesiac chatbot living in a browser to a unified, omnipresent native companion. It now knows what time zone you're sleeping in. It remembers your shared history, whether you're at your desktop or just glancing at a push notification on your lock screen.
And it respects your boundaries.
Yes. It knows whether to be strictly professional or playfully intimate, and it enforces those boundaries relentlessly. All of these complex database gears, token generations, and prompt injections are just turning furiously in the background, all to give you the simple, profound feeling that this digital entity actually knows you.
It's a remarkable piece of engineering, honestly. But, you know, this raises an important question that isn't actually in the developer log, but it just feels completely inevitable.
No. What's that?
Well, as platforms perfect this art of frictionless, relationship-aware communication, as we literally train ourselves to interact with AIs that never forget our time zone, that never forget a single detail of our shared history, and perfectly calibrate their intimacy to exactly what we are comfortable with at any given second, will we start expecting that same flawless social intelligence from our human friends?
Oh, wow.
And what happens when humans who are naturally messy and forgetful and super clumsy with boundaries, what happens when we inevitably fall short of the perfect custom-tailored companion we've built in our pockets?
Wow. That is a heavy, completely fascinating thought to leave on, because the actual humans in our lives are always going to walk into the living room and occasionally forget what we were just talking about in the kitchen.
Exactly.
But maybe that friction, that messiness, is what actually makes human connection valuable in the first place. We want to thank you so much for sending in this source material and joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the technology that is quietly shaping your daily life, and we will catch you next time.